Good morning. On Mondays at 6:30, there'll be a multi-church prayer service praying for our country. This will go on for 8 weeks. This will be the third week here. If you get a chance, stop in. We'll pray for our country right up until Election Day. Later this week, the food orders will be in for those that placed an order from St. Joe Food Pantry. If you are not able to be here, you can still fill out a slip for your request. They have several different things. They've got beef, chicken, pork, noodles, canned goods, toiletries. See the pastor right after the service and turn your order in. October is coming fast. We've got Halloween coming up, October 31st. That's a big event for us here. We have a big outreach for the children in the parking lot, and we're going to need lots of individual wrapped candy to give out. So if you're able to start bringing in some, we need all we can get for them. We've received a donation of a washing machine that's in excellent condition. If you're in need of a washing machine, see Pastor after the service. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Then you go home and next month the thing craps out on you and you wish you'd raised your hand. But anyway, that happens sometimes. Well, anyway, if you need it, let me know. It's just sitting in my pole barn, so I'd like to get shed of it as soon as possible, and the price is free. How do you like that? So if you have a need of it, just let me know. No problem. Now, hey, did you see on the news where yesterday the entire Washington Mall, all the way down to the Washington Monument and all that, was wall-to-wall people praying for our country? Amen. Glory to God. Jonathan Kahn and also Franklin Graham had a big prayer service there. And man, I'll tell you what, it was one packed house. People are concerned about our country. You know, it's been said that, you know, the only way for righteous to, or for evil to succeed is for, you know, good people to stay silent.
That's right. Amen.
So the body of Christ is rising up to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I couldn't make it to Washington, D.C. So today, I'll get it together. Today at 4 o'clock, we're going to be meeting at the downtown Four Corners Park. We're going to be on the southwest side over by Museum Gallery and may fill up the whole doggone downtown park area. I don't know. But that's where we're starting. And that's at 4 o'clock today. We're going to do what they did in Washington, D.C. We're going to pray for our country.
Hallelujah.
It's not about right and left anymore. It's good and evil. So I'm not any kind of partisan politician or anything else like that. I belong to the Jesus Party, and I know the only hope for America is Jesus Christ. So if you'll come, please, don't give yourself any excuses. I mean, if they can do that in Washington, D.C., and if God can do everything that He's doing, we can at least show up and pray. Amen?
Amen.
Now, nobody's going to stick a microphone in your face. Don't worry about that. I know there's people out there that think you get near a microphone, sucks all your brains out. Even one of them cordless ones, I don't know how they do it. But I saw Star Trek one time, and I'm sure they can. No, you're just going to pray. So bring your lawn chair, and we're going to do the Lord's business. Because I believe in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, and I'll hear the land.
Hallelujah.
We need a healing in this country. Amen. So if you can do that, that would really, really be cool. Now, by the way, if you did last week, like what Jerry said, we asked people just to fill out a little piece of paper back there, and what do you have need of? Because if we can get it in today, today's like your last day, if we can get it in, you weren't here last week, just get one of these. They're back there in the back corner. There's a little box on the wall there just before you go into the lobby. Fill out what you need, and we'll try to get it to you, okay? So don't forget that. Please, please, please. All right? So, yeah. It's on the 31st. That was a big typo, wasn't it? I missed the one. Fat fingers on the keyboard. So, yeah, it's not October 3rd. Thank you. My daughter reminded me of that. So, nothing like a daughter to get one on your dad. But by the way, yeah.
Are they still doing the Jacob's Ladder thing that there isn't any little envelopes in there today for the last Sunday?
Oh, shoot, that's right. Today is the last Sunday. I am sorry. I missed that altogether. Merle, would you get those envelopes out? John? Help him out there. What we do is on the last Sunday of every month. Thank you, Rhonda, for reminding me of that. We just ask if you can give a dollar. Put a dollar in there. We're not taking any checks. We're not asking for big money. But if everybody gives a dollar, we give it to the Jacob's Well Ministry that helps the homeless and the hurting. I mean, if we pool our resources together, and many churches are doing it, I can funnel people through Jacob's Well and not worry about somebody trying to bamboozle us out of money. They'll make sure everything's done properly and all of that. So if you can just tuck a dollar in there and put it in the offering plate when you leave. Now, around here, we don't pass the plate anymore because of the COVID thing. But it's worked out real well just to leave the offering plate out there on the table in the lobby. So when you come in, no big fanfare, no crying, complaining, or, you know, trying to twist your arm to get you to give a little bit more. Just do what the Lord's told you to do. So if you didn't catch it on the way in, you can catch it on the way out, and especially with that love envelope. Give me one of them, will you, brother? I can do something here. I apologize for not catching that. I had so much going on with the baptism, and then also this week my wife totaled our brand new car. Well, actually she had help with that. Somebody ran a stop sign and T-boned her. Thank you, Jesus, for the angels that kept her safe. She's all bruised up, doing okay, and went back to work the next day, but anyway, that was kind of a kick in the head because I really liked that car. Well, I mean, I really love my wife, but I mean, the car was, it was only a year old car. So anyway, it's been a crazy week for me. But so that's the big deal. But coming in October, on the second Sunday in October, see, in this church, we're different, in case you haven't noticed. Normal is just a setting on your dryer. It has nothing to do with real life. So what we do is if you just started coming to this church and you're like, well, I really think this is a cool place and I think maybe this is where I need to be, you know, even if it's only for a season, then what we do is we offer what we call the growth track. And the growth track is all about us laying all of our cards on the table, a level playing field. If you want to know what we're all about, where we came from, how we operate, and you want to get involved in the church, this is a perfect way to do it. Because the first session is just getting to know us as a church family. How's the government work? How do we do the finances? Blah, blah, blah. We just lay it all out there in the open. No secrets. Second Sunday night that we're going to do it is going to be about developing the essential habits of a disciple. Third one is taking your spiritual gift inventory. What kind of spiritual gifts? Everybody here has got a spiritual gift. You don't even know it. And also, we're all wired differently in our personality. So how does that work, you know? I remember my wife and I, we took that thing, and I'm like way over on the far edge over here, and she's way over on the far edge over there. No wonder we laugh so much, because both of us are just a doggone different. But it's okay. God made you different on purpose, right? Because if all of us are identical, most of us are unnecessary. Let that sink in for a minute. So you being you is what we want. But it's nice to know who you are, because everybody tells you you're weird, this, that, and everything else, trying to put you down a little bit. No, God made you special. He made you on purpose for a purpose, and we want you to know what that is. So that's the third class, and then the fourth class is leadership. We think everybody can be a leader in their own way. And then once you pass all of those, you know, to the growth track, now they're only one Sunday night for each level, except the fourth one. I think there's two on that one because it's too big of a thing to put it all into 90 minutes. But then you get to come to the once a month Dream Team meetings. And then you're in the inner circle of the church and you're able to know what's going on and you get to speak into the box, things like that. So if you're interested in that at all, we're going to start the first one on the second Sunday in October at 7 o'clock at night. So plan it, put it on your calendars, and we'll get it going. And I'm telling you, you'll see. This church is different and you'll see why it's different. Because I don't think somebody should have to go to church for 20 years to kind of figure out what that church is, or that they got to be related to somebody to be a somebody. Around here, everybody's a somebody. Because God takes nobodies. Now, I qualify for that. I don't know about you. But anyway, so we're going to do that on the Dream Team. Amen? So praise God for that. Also, we got some prayer requests up here. One for Bobby, a friend of Kevin, who needs guidance and wisdom and protection. Kerry Clark, same thing. All kinds of things the enemy's trying to just tie her into a big old knot in. So, come on, stand up, stretch your hands. You've been sitting too long. Come on. Get that blood flowing. Stretch your hands out. Let's all believe together. Father, with an outstretched hand, we're just saying, we believe that you've got them in the palm of your hand. For Bobby and Carrie, we thank you, Lord, that you're keeping them from the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that you're protecting them, that you have angels that are all around them right now, that's keeping them from harm. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them guidance. Give them that heavenly protection, Lord, and lead and guide their steps closer and closer and closer to you. Satan, we bind you in the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood over each and every one of them, and we declare that they belong to the Lord, and you can't mess with them anymore. It's off limits in Jesus' name. So thank you, Lord, for that supernatural miracle working power of your love in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody that agreed with that said,
amen,
amen and amen. You can be seated. Hey, if you got your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 3. Now, Cheryl, will pop it up on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible. That's okay. Last Sunday, we started a new series, and we talked about having Jesus being at the very center of who you are. The most miserable people I have ever found are people who call themselves Christians, or Christians in name only, and they got Jesus over here in the corner of their life, and he's there when we need him. He's like the rabbit's foot that I rub it, or the lamp that I rub, and then the genie comes out and asks you if you want three wishes. Of course, anybody with any sense says, I'll take my first wish and wish for a million more. But that isn't how it works. You see, if he came to the earth, if he left, you know, his seat in heaven and was born of the Virgin Mary as a very, very vulnerable little baby boy, left all of his power behind in heaven, came to the earth, lived amongst us, and for 3.5 years demonstrated what the love of the Father really looks like, because everybody had that all messed up. It was all a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts and bony fingers and everything else. But then he went to the cross. He did it all. He went all the way because we were the most important thing to him. So it doesn't work worth a darn if he's just only a part of our life. I just let him in when I need him. I just show up. I only pray when I got a problem. See, that's all me-centered. And those are the most miserable Christians you'll ever meet. Miserable, most miserable people on the planet, because the devil hates your guts and God can't help you. So you painted a big target on yourself, and then you separated yourself from the only one who can help you. But when Jesus is right smack dab in the center, in the middle of your life, all of a sudden it takes on a whole new flavor. Amen. All of a sudden everything starts changing. And it's a process. It's a journey. I know. It's not something you just snap your fingers and all of a sudden you're perfect. Yeah, Paul raised more people from the dead, wrote half the New Testament. He said, not that I have already attained, but this one thing I do. I press towards the goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we did. And so should we. Because if you want the best that heaven has to offer on this side of glory, he's got to be in the middle. He's got to be touching every area of your life. It was said of President Bill Clinton that he had this tremendous ability. And they were kind of lauding it, that he could compartmentalize his life. Which meant he could be an absolute scoundrel over here and still be presidential over here. Well, no, character matters, doesn't it? But too many people are that way in their lives. Well, this is me on Sunday morning. I put on the nice mask. I come in. I sing good. I dress good. I smell good. I do everything I know I'm supposed to do, what everybody expects of me. But after I leave the building, not so much. I remember my wife had gotten saved, and my kids were going to church, and, you know, I was still a dope dealer and a biker, you know, and, you know, my old lady got religion. But I had to go to church every now and then to shut her up. Wasn't that way at all, but that's the way I looked at it. I was an idiot. I was a chauvinist pig. So I'd go to church with my wife and kids and all that, and, you know, and I'd have a joint rolled up sitting in the ashtray, so when I got done coming out of church before I left the parking lot, I'm smoking a joint. Sad, isn't it? I mean, y'all haven't cornered the market on stupidity. Nobody has, but we're all trying, or used to anyway. But you see, when I got saved, I'm in my garage, and I'm working on my Harley, and I'm rolling a joint. I said, God, if you're real, I want to know it. And he started talking to me, I swear. Whether I was hearing it with the outer ear or the inner ear, it didn't matter, man. I'm telling you what, every time I talk about it, I can feel it, just the way I felt back then. So when God, of all the things he's got to deal with in the universe, came into my ratty old dirt floor one-car garage to talk to me in the middle of my sin, he had my absolute undivided attention. And he stayed that way. Think about it. Because if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you always got. And I decided, you know what, I didn't like what I had. I wanted what he had. So I put him in the middle. I don't ever want him to be my co-pilot.
Amen.
I don't ever want to be an advisor to heaven. I'm the one walking in here going, God, my way didn't work. I want your way. So the closer I keep him in the center of my life, touching every aspect of who I am and what I'm going to do, the better off my life has been. And he promised me this. He said, if you'll draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. Oh, man. That's when it really starts getting freaky. Because God shows up in amazing, amazing ways. 2 weeks ago, we had a big problem at the church here, and we got a love letter from the IRS. Nobody gets a love letter from the IRS, okay? That's a little sarcasm here. And it said we owed over $1,000 on our payroll withholding tax. And we didn't owe them that money. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I checked all my books, and everything's fine. Talked to my accountant, my CPA, and he says, so this thing is really bothering me. And as it should, you know, when the IRS, they have no sense of humor. None. Nada. So anyway, I'm praying, you know, and I just kind of got into a kind of in a zone of peace. It took me a couple days, but I got into a little zone of peace, you know, and I woke up that morning and I just sat on my bed getting up and I said, Lord, I thank you for favor. I wasn't obsessing about it anymore at all because God is large and in charge if he's in the middle of your life. Okay? He said, this is his church. It ain't my church. It's God's church. So anyway, I woke up and I made that little statement, thank you, Lord, for favor. And I came in that morning and I called the IRS number. And of course, they're going to put you on hold forever, make you sweat, you know, like when the cops put you in the box and they're going to interrogate you, you know. But anyway, so they, you know, the thing comes up and says, if you just give us your phone number, we'll call you back. And I thought, well, that's better than sitting here listening to nothing, no elevator music, no nothing. So I did that. 20 minutes later, the phone rings. And it's the IRS gal. And she was the sweetest person I've ever talked to on the phone. Remember that prayer for favor? She was with me for over an hour. And man, she went through everything with a fine-tooth comb. We'd sent her in some paperwork that somehow didn't get sent in. And somehow or another, the guy on the other end that got it at the IRS thought that this was an amended tax form, so we owed that money. But we already paid that money. We just forgot to send in the paper. So she goes through that and all, she said, oh, sir, you don't owe us anything. They'd already given me interest and fixing to fine me, you know, because it was from 2 years back. So anyway, God does cool stuff.
He does. Amen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This stuff works, man. That's why I'm doing it. I don't have time for the phony baloney. I mean, Christianity is a romance. It's not a religion.
Amen.
God so loved you. And all he's asking for is love in return. I mean, it's based on a consuming passion, just like the in the natural between two people. How good is your love affair? I've been married 46 years now, going to be 47 come Groundhog Day, and I'm still on my honeymoon because I keep falling in love with the same woman every day. So it doesn't get old. It's the same way with God. It's built on love in the absolute sense. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. He's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And only one gets to be the center. You can't have several people, several different issues or things on the throne of your heart. It's either Jesus or you're in trouble. So if he's at the center, that's that one thing in your life, your first love, the thing for which everything else takes second place. And over here in Matthew chapter 3, it says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. He says, I'll baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. See, there's a process of exclusion. You let go of many, many other things and you grab on with both hands onto the one thing that matters. Back in the day when they had Zeppelins, I mean the great big lighter-than-air blimps, you know, and they were really kind of amazing, and the technology for the day, that was the tops. I mean, my goodness, can you imagine? Well, this one had come into New York, into an airport, and a wind blew up out of nowhere, and these things are lighter than air. They're like a friggin' balloon, only on steroids. They're massive. And so what they do when they bring them in to stabilize them, because they got to bring them over to this tower where they hook on the nose of it so that it's going to stay where it belongs. Well, just before they got there, this big wind comes up, and they got over 100 guys that are hanging onto the ropes that drop down, and they're walking on the ground, 100 guys like the Macy's blimps, you know, on Thanksgiving. And they were walking it up, and all of a sudden, it went up so fast, 100 guys went up in the air with it. Oh, yeah, got a little hurry. Harry, curl your toes, man. You're up several hundred feet in the air, and to the horror of the onlookers, one by one, they fell to their death. because they couldn't get the blimp back where it belonged. But in the end of it all, there was one guy who was still up there. And they're thinking, any second now, he's going to go too and all of that, you know. And he's up there, and when they finally get the blimp back and they get it where it belongs and hook it onto the tower, they said, how did you hold on for so long? Because your strength can only last just so long. He says, simple. I just climbed up the rope a little bit and tied the rope around me and let the rope hold me up. Circumstances in life's like gravity. They never go away. They just change flavors, and they're most always negative. But when you've got Jesus wrapped around you, he's the center of everything. He's the one who holds you up. You don't have to hold yourself up. He's the one who holds you up. But you got to make your mind up what you're going to do with him. John the Baptist said, I'll baptize you with water, but the one that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. This was a baptism of repentance. Repentance. That's a gift from God. Did you know that? Baptism, you know, it's an inner sense of guilt. It includes giving up our bad conduct. It's a reversal of a decision. It's a change of mind. In other words, if I want to go to Quincy and I see the city limit sign for Brunson, it's going to be a long walk to get to Quincy. No, you just do a 180 and you start walking the other way. That's what repentance is all about. Stop and going in the wrong direction and turn around and go back in the other direction. The repentance is so important. I've got to let go of the things that have been hanging onto my life that are trying to pull me away. The Satan's a master of distraction. He'll add so much clutter and chaos into your life, you don't know where to go. It's kind of like when I was up north in the UP and my dad had a 40-acre plot and a cabin up there, and we were surrounded by, you know, state land. But he said, 3 miles due south of here is Lake Michigan. I thought, well, that'll be good. He said, don't you leave this cabin without a compass. Because the trees are so thick up there. Literally, there were trees that were so close together, I couldn't walk between them. That was back when I was a lot skinnier than I am now. So anyway, I had that. And you know what I decided? My lightning fast mind figured out. I'm just going to take a big old roll of that hunter's ribbon, that tape, you know, little 3/4-inch wide fluorescent tape. Every so often, I'm just going to tie it onto the limb so I don't have to go all the way back around to get back to my dad's cabin. I'll just walk straight to Lake Michigan and straight back. Well, I got about 3/4 of the way there and ran out of tape. Life can be like that. All the issues that you face are like all those trees that are crowded. All the time they have people up there to get lost in the woods, and they got to do the big search thing, and they can't find you with a helicopter because it's a doggone many trees. People get out dead in their walk with the Lord, and their life just turns into a mess. But remember, the main thing to remember about the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. To baptize means to fully immerse. To fully immerse yourself into that. I had a buddy named Larry out in Oklahoma. Great guy. Love him to pieces. He's out there. I mean, you know, when I say out there, I mean he is out there. Well, he up and decided at the age of 55 that he was going to learn how to do computers. So he bought these crappy old used computers, a 386, then he upgraded to a 486. It was long before Windows ever come along. And he taught himself everything he needed to know about computers. Why? Because he immersed himself in it until he got it. It's the same thing with us and God. That's what baptism is. I'm letting go of the past, I'm grabbing onto the future, and I'm going all the way. I'm immersing myself in it all the way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, therefore, if anyone, I don't care how bad you are, I don't care how you got to Jesus, this is for you. That anyone who is in Christ is a new creation, a new species of being. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's restoration. That means the debt is paid. You don't owe him anything. The ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God himself was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't get to the place where I'm right with God because I dotted every I and crossed every T and done everything 100% right. Ooh. If that's the case, ain't none of us got a chance. But he gave us the gift of righteousness. That means right standing with God. It means the ability to be in the presence of God without any sense of sin, shame, guilt, or anything else. Because you've been made a new creation. Now the devil don't just give up because you get born again. He keeps bringing all this junk back into your life. All the time. That day I made Jesus the Lord of my Savior in my garage, I came in and told my wife, she'd been born again for 2 years, she'd been praying for me. I was a jerk. She says, I love him, Lord, but I just don't like him no more. So she kept praying. And then I had that encounter with God in my garage, and I come back in and I tell her, man, oh man, she's laughing and crying and everything else at the same time. And I'm like, what did I do? I'm still kind of going, because I had that God encounter. But she stopped in the middle of all that after a few minutes, and she said, you're going to get tempted? I mean, it was just stone cold sober, like somebody else is using my wife's mouth to speak to me and saying, you're going to be tempted. The devil's going to throw something at you to try to hook you back in. I'm like, well, okay, because I'm still freaking out because I had an encounter with God. So anyway, things got really good real quick, but within 24 hours, all my old biker buddies started showing back up. I mean, they never brought any beer. They never brought any dope. They never brought anything. They come to suck off of me. Great friends. So within 24 hours, four of them show up with the best weed they've ever had and a case of beer and everything else. And I'm looking at that going, holy smokes, it's just like she said. I was glad I was warned because it was like radically weird because they never did that, ever. And yet I held on to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he held on to me. Remember the kid with the blimp? Tied a rope around himself. What God offers us is a whole new love that's unique in every way that it could possibly be from any kind of the human love that you've ever experienced. He's restored us unto him. We have God's friendship. We have everything that separated us is gone. Gone. He just did it for you because you can't do it for yourself. He did it for you. And all you got to do after you get out of the hog pen and take a shower and get new clothes on is just don't go back in the hog pen. Simple, easy to remember. Letting go of the darkness of our past and turning away from it entirely, cutting every tie that bound us to us, you're only going to do that is by pursuing him. His love. And he's not stingy about it. But you see, like I said, everything God does, he does by permission. How much of heart you're going to give him? Well, he leaves that up to you. Isn't that crazy? If I was God, I wouldn't do that. If I'm going to go down and send my son and he's going to die on the cross, buddy, you better tighten it up. His love says, no, make up your mind. Because it isn't love unless it's freely given. You get to choose how much of God you want in your life. But if he's at the very center, oh, it gets sweet, 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 sweet. Go to Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 4, Philippians 3, 4. Paul's writing this. He was a scoundrel. He put so many Christians to death. He was a hitman for the Old Testament, the Jewish temple. I mean, he was one bad son of a gun. And yet he had an encounter with God on the Damascus Road. God took this horrible human being and said, that's the one I want. I'm going to use him. I love that. Says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anybody else thinks he may have confidence, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me? He had it all wrapped up, man. He was the top dog. Everybody saw him and just said, wow. He had a reason to brag. But he said, but all what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. One translation says, I count them as dung. I like that. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. Yeah, it'll cost you something. Keeping him smack dab in the center of your life going to cost you. But oh, the dividends that it pays. Oh, my gosh. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, putting those things which are behind and for reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He turned his back on everything. Everything. He had it made. The rest of his life, he was going to be the top dog of something because he was impressing all the wrong people. You ever do that? Man, everything's rocking along just fine, but you finally realize, you know, yeah, you may be the king rat, you know, because you won the rat race, but it still means you're a rat, you know. God says, I'm going to give you something better. See, water baptism is all about a radical change of life. Redirecting, pointing your life in only one direction. No regrets, no retreat, and no return. How many of you ever watched the movie Pirates of the Caribbean with Johnny Depp? That guy's life is a mess. He blew $400 million. He's dumber than a sack of hammers. He had everything and nothing at the same time. But there's one thing I remember from that movie that stands out more than anything else. He had a compass in his hand. And they called it a busted compass, but if you read the book about it, that they made the movie out of, that the compass just pointed wherever he wanted to go. It didn't point to north. There's a lot of people out there who got a compass like that. If it feels good, do it. If you don't get caught, it's not wrong. Illegal's just a sick bird. Come on. But Jesus offers you a compass that points to north. Just like me going through those woods in the Upper Peninsula. All I needed to know where north was, because I can figure the rest of it out. I've been a Boy Scout. It's the opposite of south, you know. And I knew I couldn't miss Lake Michigan. That was a given. Finding a cabin again, well, it was 3 miles down, but it was a 10-mile walk that I made to finally get back because, remember, I ran out of ribbon to tie onto the tree so I could follow the yeah. I made that 10-mile walk in 5-mile boots, and by the last 5 miles, my dogs were barking. I was glad to see the driveway to my dad's cabin. It was a third of a mile long, but I knew I was getting close. It's important. He says, if you're going to keep this radical change of life going, it's sort of like, you know, we're coming up to hunting season and archery season starts the 1st of October. Yeah, she's over here, yeah. What's the biggest one you got? 12-pointer?
Nine.
Yeah.
Working on it.
She's working on a 12. But if you ever get out there and you do archery practice, you know, you got the target has got like a ring and a ring and a ring and a ring and a ring. So what are you aiming at? Smack dab in the middle. You want to be like Robin Hood, cut that arrow right in half with the second one, right? Did you know that the Greek archery term for missing the bullseye is sin? That's where we get the word sin from. That's the original purpose of the word. But you always aim at the middle because if you miss, you're going to be pretty close to the middle, hopefully, at least where you can get your arrow back anyway. I mean, you know, I was sighting in my compound bow many years ago in my backyard, and I had a 50-yard shot, and then I just missed it completely, and I never did get the arrow back. Had the broadhead on it and everything. I was hoping some kid didn't get their foot cut, but it just went right under the sod in the neighbor's backyard. Now, go buy another arrow. So you see, when you want this whole thing to be right in the middle, it's like aiming for that target right in the middle. And if you miss it, it's just called a sin. But guess what? Jesus took care of the sin. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I'm good to go. We're back in the game again. The only way you get that stuff cleansed from you to begin with is through the blood of Jesus, and the rules don't change after you get saved. So it's a simple thing. Leaning on what he did. Go to Romans chapter 6. Are you getting anything out of this? Keeping him right in the middle. Romans chapter 6 and in verse 4 it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, that we too may live a new life. Drop down to verse 11. It says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let it reign. In other words, you got a choice. Sinners sin because they're sinners. They can't help it. Christians sin because they choose to. Did you get that part? If you're a Christian, you sin because you chose to. Don't let it eat you up. Don't let it suck you back in. Because what God has for you is far better than what the world could ever do. There's no high like the Most High. I used to think I couldn't have any fun unless I had a 12-pack of beer in me and a bag of weed in my pocket. I found out, man, was I a dummy. Almost destroyed my life. But then I found out the reason why the devil sucks us into getting high all the time, because you're wired to be high. God made you that way. Just don't go for the counterfeit stuff. He wants to blow your mind every day. All you got to do is keep him in the middle. Keep him in the middle. Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul says it this way. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. Isn't that something? Paul's saying, yeah, the old Paul is gone. He's toast. He's history. We aren't going back to that again because we know it doesn't work. Right? Can remember we were putting the siding on this church because there's cement block walls and you see the steel siding on there. Man, it was kind of cold when we were doing that. Richard, you were helping with that, you know. And instead of drilling holes that you could put the nails in and use screws or whatever, no, we didn't do that. So you're sitting there with a big old honking hammer and you're just like bam, 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 to get a hole through the steel. Then you drive it into the 2x4. Well, the rain is coming off, dripping off of the roof and all of that. So you're cold, you're getting wet, and you're going bam, 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 ow! You know, it's like, you know, it came this close to making a preacher cuss. I can say that. It got close. Because I borrowed a hammer off of Bill Carpenter, and it's one of them great big old 20-ounce S-Twings. It's got the steel handle and all that on it. And you looked on the front of it, and it looked like it had the cross hatches of a meat tenderizer. And the only thing worse than hitting your thumb once is hitting it again 5 minutes later. Yeah. So don't go back to that old stuff. Don't go back to that at all. Because it's going to mess you up. I almost lost a thumbnail for Jesus. I hated that hammer. Man, I tell you what, second time that big old waffle iron hit me on my thumb, I just threw it. Wasn't even my hammer. At least mine didn't tear things up when it hit me. I mean, I'm bleeding clear back to the second knuckle. Don't go back to that stuff. It starts with a passionate decision to go all the way with Jesus. That's what we're about to do. Through water baptism. And it's important for you, not even if you're not going to get wet, that you remember the commitment that you made and don't lose your first love. Don't wander. Don't waver. Don't take the easy road. Because the path of least resistance makes rivers and people crooked. Think about that. If you live for Jesus, some of it's going to be uphill. Some of it's going to be gnarly. Some of it's going to be like, when will this ever get over? But you know you're on the road to success, old Zig Ziglar said, because it's all uphill. The road to failure is downhill. It's easy doing that. See, water baptism signifies the separation. The separation that you have made, that godly intention to choose life. It doesn't say I'll never miss it again, but it does say I won't give up till I overcome it. I choose to steer away from darkness, to let go of it and the death that comes with it. I choose Jesus till the day I die. I'm taking a vow of total surrender. Ever watch a Rocky movie? I think they got up to 14 of them now. I don't know, it's just... Sylvester Stallone, he's like Methuselah. He's going to live to be 900, I don't know. But there's one scene, I love Rocky movies. You know, it's like, yo, Adrian, you know, cut me, Mick, I can't see. All the famous lines, you know. But the one is where he's talking to his grown kid. And he says, it isn't about, you know, getting knocked down in life. It's how many times can you get back up and keep moving forward. That's the way it is with us in Jesus. You're not going to hit a home run every time you step up to the plate. You're going to mess up. That's okay. Come back, kid, right back to the center. Keep a short list where you mess up, because it takes less than a minute to get right with God again. And it's not about being religious. It's about hooking up with the love affair and not letting go. It's amazing. James 4 puts it this way. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? God's jealous about you. He paid the highest price that was ever paid for anything, ever, for you. Is he a little hooked on you? I think so. I mean, if heaven had a refrigerator, your picture would be on the door. He's that nuts about you. But the honeymoon doesn't have to end. Fall in love every day. Over and over again. Never let it go stale. Many have done so already in the church today. Yeah, oh, that COVID-19. Then they drift away. Then they buy into the lie. And they drink the Kool-Aid. They say, I don't have to go to church to be a good Christian. Oh, really? You got a Bible? Show me the verse. I can show you a whole bunch of them that says the exact opposite. Yeah, we know we pass from death to life because we love the brethren. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the love of God cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, we need each other. The church is God's only avenue. This is the body of Christ. He says, this is me. But it just kind of looks like Bruce over here. It looks like Richard over here. Looks better than Audra. Just saying. Doesn't matter. He loves us that much. See, it's important. It's about choices every day. Every day. Can't live on yesterday's choices. The choices you make will in turn make you. It's like the old saying, for the drunk, he took the bottle and the bottle took him. So don't go down that road. A fat man has no business going down the cookie aisle in the grocery store. Can I get an amen? Like I've said, you know, Oreos are my kryptonite. So, you know, I just don't go there. So it's important for us to decide this. You know, inside your bulletin, open that thing up. There's a paper in there. And it's called The Fellowship of the Unashamed. See, through water baptism, we're saying that Jesus is enough for me. He's my all in all, the source of everything, the defining point of my life, and the reason that I live. So it's important for us to look at this. I like a minister down in South America wrote this. He says, I am a part. Keep this, man. You want to read this every now and then. Keeps you from getting soggy. And it'll light your fire, even if your wood's wet. He says, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. My die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with slow living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame visions, worldly talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first, tops, recognized, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I'm uplifted by prayer, and I labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear, I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work until He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear. To live any other way, I think, is showing a disgrace to the cross of Christ. I'm just saying the deeper you go, the sweeter it gets. So why would you want to rip yourself off by just hanging around on the outside of it and thinking, well, as long as I get into heaven, that's good enough. You know, it's a funny thing about the Bible. There's no place in there where He tells you how good is good enough. So you might as well go all the way. Because if what you really got is what God's been offering, you aren't asking that question. See, this means everything to you, it means everything to Jesus, and it means everything to this lost and dying, screwed up world that we're living in. Tony Cook, one of my instructors, wrote this down. He said, the lost world isn't going to be won by big, beautiful churches, by being trendy and culturally relevant, for the 20-30-somethings, by an awesome worship band, a perfect children's youth and young adult program, or by incredible sermons, the only way that this world will be won is by individual Christians who are personifying Jesus in their integrity, their character, and their love walk. In other words, Jesus just living through you. We are coming into an age of multiple storms on every front, and there's no escaping it, saint and sinner alike. Oh yeah, we're gonna have to go through it. You say it's gonna get worse? Uh-huh. Lots worse. You'll be talking about what happened in 2020 like it was nothing. Boy, I remember the good old days. Comparatively speaking, that's what's coming. We have to be sure of our foundations being built on Jesus Christ alone if we're gonna survive this. It means faith and passion and obedience. For it's only the house that's built on the rock that's going to remain after the storm is cleared. And many believers will be surprised that their house fell because they built it on good intentions alone and a lot of excuses why they chose themselves over duty and devotion. Less than 3% of the body of Christ today in evangelical churches has ever told anybody else about what they found in Jesus. Over 97% of them just keep their fat mouth shut because they might make somebody upset. Well, what about making Jesus upset? He says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. I'm not saying that to threaten you. I'm just saying that to wake up, man. This stuff is real. And you got to be real. You got to take this sacrament of baptism today as a wake-up call. Wake-up call for your life, too, to get serious. To change your ways. Stop being a part-time Christian. To become a soul winner. To go deep and be all in for the kingdom of God. I can't make that decision for you. All I know is that fiddle farting around on the edges just makes you a big old fat target. And God can't help you because you only want Him when you want something from Him. He says He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. How many of you ever raised teenagers? Remember, grandchildren is your reward for not killing your teenagers. Okay. But teenagers seem to go through a phase, too many of them, where they want you for your wallet. They don't love you or respect you or anything else. They just want what you can do for them. Well, it doesn't work that way with us and God because He sees right through that. He says, if you want me, I'm here. I'm all in. But if all you want is what I can do for you, well, you're going to get disappointed. And there's a whole lot of parents through the last several generations that have successfully raised terrorists because they think they're entitled to everything. Everybody gets a trophy for participation. No, no, they don't. Never have, never will. That your attitude doesn't matter, but your attitude determines your altitude. Just like in an airplane, they got an attitude meter. If you're climbing, the attitude meter tells you that. And if you're going down, the attitude meter will tell you that. And if you don't change, it'll take you right to the scene of the crash. But God is offering you new life. And all you got to do is ask for it. All you got to do is go for it. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't want anybody looking around. It's between you and God. Are you here this morning and have you lived this life like the Fellowship of the Unashamed? Yeah, that radical stuff. Yeah. That's what it's all about. I mean, I lived radically for the devil. Why wouldn't I want to live radically for the Lord? But if you know you need to make your life right with God right now, whether you've never been a Christian or you did and you drifted away and you know that you're in trouble and you want back in, now's the time, man. With every head bowed and every eye closed, just slip your hand up in here. I need this, Jesus. I need it. I'm not ashamed to admit I haven't arrived yet. Look at their hands. My goodness. Let's all stand. Let's pray this together. Whether you raised your hand or should have raised your hand or everything's right between you and the Lord, let's just do this together as a family. Pray this after me from your heart. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I need help. I keep getting back. And the same old cycle over and over again. Thank you for giving me. Thank you for cleansing me. But Lord, I'm asking for wisdom so I don't step in it again. Be my Lord. I surrender it all. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I believe that you're alive here today. I love you. I need you. And I trust you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. You can be seated. Well, let's have us a water baptism, what do you say? Yeah, would you? Yeah. John, would you help Rich get this thing?